Well, you know, I got to finish crying yet. Those stories reached the heart, right? I hope they reach yours like they reach mine. Do you know that most people here today were saved in your youth? I asked one time at a conference how many were saved before they were 20, and probably 75% of the conference were saved when they were young. We're not going to overlook you young ones that are even saved when you're 6 or 7 or 8. But to me, I am impressed that there are certain periods of time in our lives when we are changed, molded. Not at my age. I'm the only one here today with snow on the roof that's speaking here. So you have to pardon an old gentleman. Oh, well, you're getting pretty close. Well, you're losing yours. But what happens here is today I'm trying to come across at least two generations to talk about a subject that most of you are afraid of, and that's the subject of submission. Just to make it clear, submission is the only way to follow Christ. Submission will require me to do things the way the Lord Jesus did, not my way. Submission was demonstrated by the Lord Jesus. And all those who have ever produced anything for God have learned submission from firsthand, from the Scriptures. So read with me in the book of Peter, please, in 1 Peter chapter 2. You see, this is necessary. This subject of submission is necessary in any social setting where there's more than one person. And, of course, that's got to be in the nations, and it's got to be in the assembly, and it's got to be in homes. Submission is necessary for there to be an orderly conduct of life. Can't live without submission. It's impossible. We would be living in a state of anarchy and confusion, total confusion, if there wasn't the practice of submission. And those are the three areas, actually, that God has appointed. And one of those is that we are to submit ourselves to the powers that be. We'll read that here for a moment. We are then to submit ourselves to those who rule over us. And then wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands. And that's just the way it is. So read with me, beginning at verse 13, chapter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now that's the key to submission. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, that's the Lord, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Down, for the sake of time, to verse 20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? So there was obviously some abuse going on. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. When it comes to, and I'm sure that most of you right away are looking for a definition of submission, and it's really not a complicated thing. Submission is simply voluntarily cooperating with anyone out of love and respect for the Lord first, and then out of love and respect for that person. It's voluntarily cooperating with anyone out of love and respect, first of all, for the Lord, and then for that person. And it's not always easy. We're going to come to that. But we did read, and I will refer to some of these briefly. We did read that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's a fundamental to the subject of submission. And when it comes to that, we will look and notice a little later on that it's in the name. When we do that, we do in the name of the Lord and as it's fit in the Lord and as it's unto the Lord. Back here in 1 Peter, we're referring to a sister who has, for example, an example, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'm not sure how many places in the Scripture. I didn't really search for it. That there were direct references to a person, a sister, being qualified or the example being the Lord himself. But in this case, the Lord in his suffering, the Lord in his life on earth, the Lord in his time where there was opposition and difficulty, the Lord in the period of his ministry when he was under the pressures that were coming on him from every hand, he is left as an example to you as to how you are to submit to an unbelieving husband. Or perhaps even a husband, which we will look at a little bit later, who is a believer but is not functioning as a believer should. And he gives himself, the Spirit of God gives to us the Lord Jesus as the example of a wife who is going to submit herself to her husband. It's mentioned last night, and it's true. When it says weaker vessel, it's obviously that he is a weak vessel, and she's called a weaker. It's it's not that he's strong, so don't get that in your mind, boys. It's not comparing young women with strong young men. It's not like that at all. We're talking about a person who has yielded themselves for a particular reason, for the Lord's sake, to the leadership of that life in which she's been called. I had a privilege of being brought up in an intact family, Christian family. And the Lord was honored. Actually, he goes back for six generations. And I have, right from Plymouth in England. But it doesn't make it necessarily that I would do that. I just had the privilege of being brought up in that kind of a home, where mother was submitted to my father. But she was more outspoken than my father. You say, how can that be possible? Hold on. And father was a real gentleman. The whole of his life, he was a gentleman. He treated my mother with utmost respect. And she treated him with total submission. Except when he did something wrong. So submission, then, is a not always easy, especially to an unbeliever. It can be difficult, but it is a vital part of leading them to Christ for salvation. We all are not called to the point of compromising our relationship with God for that, but we are called to be what God intends us to be, and that rises above these problems of submission that come. So when I'm going to just give you a few thoughts, I haven't put them on that outline, but one of those things that a sister here, and in this case I see it here, first of all, she's without guile. She's without reviling. She's without threats. She's without using words as weapons. She is a woman who's without attracting attention to herself by the way she dresses or conducts herself in public. She is one who attracts attention to the Lord. She doesn't attract attention to her own head or her own neck. Now, I'm being careful, but you understand what I mean. She does not attract herself to her physical attributes, not to the neck, nor to the body. She is submitting as unto the Lord. But she does it with her inner self, with a meek and quiet spirit. This is not a brazen, I'm here person. This is one who, with a meek and quiet spirit, in particularly in God's estimation, now draws near to respond to every need of her husband in a sense of dignity and honor and respect to him for his role as leader in that home, whether he's saved or not. So, I can't come to where some of you sisters are whose husbands are not saved. I can't cross that barrier, but this much I do know, that it is up to you to represent Christ to that man. It's one of the ways that the Scripture teaches us that people are one to Christ without words. It's a strategy for salvation. And one-sided submission can be a very, very effective strategy in soul winning. So if you're a newly saved person and your husband is not saved, go ahead. We can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that with our own natural strength, but by doing it for the Lord's sake, we can. Now, I have a problem. That comes with being a senior citizen. I talk too much and talk too long, so I'm going to move on to the book of Colossians chapter 3. But I wanted to make clear to you that there is a reason for this submission. We will come back to Sarah a little later as an example, but I'm giving you what I feel is the doctrine or what submission is. Remember, voluntarily cooperating with a person out of love and respect for God first, and then for that person. And we do it in this. I'm going to read a few verses with you here in Colossians chapter 3. And I call this rules of submission. And verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, for the Lord's sake, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Notice down a little bit further, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If we were to look at what the holy women of old were like, we would have found that, and we've already heard of Mary and some of the others in the Scriptures, they were recognized for their beauty by their trust in God and by their submission to their husbands and by accepting the role that God gave them with gratitude and thanks as unto the Lord in the name of the Lord. Submission when it comes to the husband's role, and husbands do submit, we're submitted to Christ and submitted to Christ-like love. If you're conducting yourselves as an appropriate husband, you will be submitting yourselves to Christ-like love in your life. If a wife can respect and affirm a husband's leadership, if he has shown and does show continually Christ-like love to his wife. How did Christ show his love? We'll come to that when we turn to Ephesians. But previously to Christianity, as was mentioned last night, wives were often subjected and almost enslaved to the whims and the demands of their husbands. And it's coming back again now in our country. But submission is simply to arrange in rank. This just means that one is not higher than the other. They have different ranks to fill. A woman is superior in being a woman, being feminine. That's why I hope you understand. I find myself a little out of my depth talking to you ladies. But I do know this much, that in order for me to even be able to speak to you, I have to commit myself to submitting to being Christ-like in my love for my wife. We've been married 45 and a half years, and my wife has submitted to my leadership, and I have sought by God's help and grace to make any changes, and there's had to be some, in my life to show Christ-like love to her. I was in the Lord's work for a number of years before we married, but I appreciated the fact that even in assembly life, she was an example of those that submitted to the authority of an assembly. Evidence was there ahead of time of her interest in the things of God, not always there in people. There is order in God's things, even in the Godhead. The Father and the Son are two equals, and yet the Son was begotten of the Father. The ordered fellowship of divine persons is what the well-being of this universe depends on. The Father has a role, the Son has a role, and the Holy Spirit has a role. And the order of divine persons submitting themselves as equals to each other is one of the remarkable things that maintains everything that we take for granted today. It's the same in governments. Prime Minister Harper is submissive or is submitted, must be submitted to the will of the people. But that's where governments break down, because a family and an assembly is not a democracy. We are under authority. And I have to assume that authority as a husband. I have to be the kind of husband that my wife will find submission to be easy to. And I have to work on that. After 45 years, I'm still at it. But if you want to talk to her privately, go ahead. I think that's wise that some of you younger women talk to some of these older women who've got their life in order, and you can tell. You can tell when people have got their ordered life together. Her submission then would be reflected by the submission of the Father or the Son to the Father. And that's how we have salvation. An unforgettable woman is one who that's can be seen and understood and her husband will love, is one who is warm and responsive. She is confident and aware and involved. She's not putting everything over on him. She's aware of who she is. She's confident in herself, but she's aware of the role that she has because it's as unto the Lord. So a warm and responsive woman is part of being submissive. A feminine woman is part of submission. Understand that you don't have to try to prove anything. If you are trying to prove your femininity, such as is in the movement that's on the go around us, then you're not feminine. Take the place that God has given you with gratitude and thanks. Be the person that God has intended because he's made you. You are not an accident. You are a plan by God to fulfill a role that only you and he know ultimately will be. But your husband will come in a close second. And not only that, but an unforgettable woman is not only warm and responsive and appreciates the fact of being a woman, is not trying to take a masculine role, whether it's in business or in other areas of life. She's content with being a woman. But she's also intelligent. And our brother mentioned that last night, and we're not going to measure intelligent quotients here. But I understand that when I was going to school, there were some of these girls, I don't know how they did it. I thought they only knew English, but some of them knew math better than I did, and I couldn't understand that. I thought they were supposed to have a different kind of a brain. But they were intelligent people. And a submissive wife will be intelligent. She'll be wise to understand when there's a word needed and when silence is needed. She'll be wise to understand that there's some things that she has to make an effort to understand. And then she'll be able to be submissive. And she will learn and conduct herself in a thoughtful way. But also, a submissive wife will make others maybe even feel larger than they really are. Her husband can find great satisfaction in the fact that his wife does submit to him. I'd like to read with you in the book of Ephesians. In each of these relationships, of husband and wife relationships, or the nation, or whatever, the responsibility there is to submit in love and encourage and subordinate our own personal ambitions and desires, and both submit ourselves to the Lord, the husbands, to loving as the Lord loves, the wives to submitting to the leadership of her husband. The parallel passage here in Ephesians chapter 5 has quite a lot to say about this subject. And I'm going to just read it, verse 18, first of all. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts, in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Every time submission is brought up, it is directly related to you and your life with the Lord. Now, we will be looking at that subject of developing a godly spiritual development later on, but understand that every time submission is mentioned, as I recall from the Scripture in relation to wives, it is directly in relation to you and the Lord Jesus. And it's always the Lord. It is always as Lord. Now, preference for Christ and all that He wants from you, I believe, is the incentive for submission. The reality of submission has this recognition that I want to be Christ-like. It is an act and a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can automatically do. So, a man puts aside his own interests to care for and take charge of and be responsible for his wife in the same way that the Lord Jesus is in charge of and responsible and cares for the church. And we could read that if we were speaking about husbands and wives. But he will not take advantage of his leadership role, and a wise and Christ-honoring wife will not undermine her husband's leadership. She will recognize it, even though she might not agree with everything. But no wife, and you husbands remember, no wife will fear submitting to you if you treat her in the way that Christ loves the church. Even though she might disagree at times and let you know about it, she will still not fear submitting to you. It doesn't mean that you lose your own personality and just become a rubber stamp of his. Can't do that, although some people have tried, and we wonder what happened at home, whether there was abuse like back in the book of 1 Peter. But submission is not really being a doormat, but submission is simply a willingness to obey God and His command. The Lord has your supreme loyalty if you're a submissive wife. Or if you're submissive even in the assembly, and we're not going into that part, that's not what I'm going to speak to you about here today. But for the wife, she needs to be willing to follow the husband's leadership in Christ and to obey the spiritual directions. And for the husband, it means to set aside his own interest to care for his wife. And it's not a practical, marriage is not a practical necessity to understand what it is. It's not a practical necessity for lust or cravings or even for multiplying, but it is a visible type of Christ in the church. It's here in the world today. So how does a woman submit to her husband? She has to live under his authority. There isn't any other way. Now, everybody is under somebody's authority. We all are. I mean, if you were to read in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, you would find that we're all under authority of one kind or another. And it is against our old nature to give in to another or to live joyfully under some authority unless we do it as unto the Lord. So, how can a person then win without words? I just saw this quote, and I'm only going to give it to you and pass on. But this impressed me when I read it. The mightiest song is often sung by the softest voice. So how do you win? The mightiest song is often sung by the softest voice. Submit as is fitting, for the sake of the marriage, for the sake of the family, in the same way that the Lord Jesus submitted to the Father to carry out His plan of salvation. He had to die for it. He submitted Himself to His Father. And so we have to learn first, and this is learned when you're first saved, I hope. I don't know whether there's many young girls here and boys, but you were saved. But you understand, I'm talking really young. My wife was saved when she was 7. We had 2 daughters, both were saved. One was 8 and one was 9. I was a teenager when the Lord saved me. I had an aunt who was down in Venezuela for a number of years, named Ruth Scott. We're related, I guess, the short term relations here. And she was saved when she was 5. And the thing that woke her up was her willfulness against authority. And at the age of 5, Ruth Scott submitted her will. I remember her telling us often, she learned the first lesson of submission at the age of 5, when she submitted to the Lord himself. So you don't wait until you're married to learn submission. The hardest and probably one of the most productive things that you'll ever do as a wife in your marriage is to submit to your husband. I don't know how else to say it. A lot of times people want to be married and there are certain words they don't like in a marriage ceremony. I do believe in preparation for marriage. I do believe in people need to have help in preparing for marriage. And one of the things I do believe needs to be taught. And it probably can be taught by some of you older sisters to some of these younger ones. The word submit is not a bad word. It is a good word. Because it means a voluntary cooperation. It comes out of, first of all, love to Christ. And then love to that person you're going to submit to. Because before you marry, you will have to commit yourself. If you're a Christian woman, you will have to commit yourself to submitting to his leadership. No matter how long you've been single, that's a commitment that you make. One of the things that we find is in Christian marriage. So you don't lose your personality when you submit. You put on display the beauty of the gospel, where Christ himself submitted to the Father to the extent of dying on the cross. And God created these lines of authority in order for the world to function properly. And I would like to just read with you, because I see our time is quickly gone. I want to read with you that particular thing in chapter 2 of Philippians and beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In order for a person really to submit, it isn't some outward form. You can have long hair and a hard spirit. The submission begins deep inside the soul. And it begins with you and God. And it continues with you and God. And it goes all through life between you and God. And it is shown in your submission to your husband. The mind of Christ involves the Christ-like attitude. He thinks of others, not of himself. That's submission. And that was the problem that happened in heaven when Lucifer and those angels rose up. But the submissive persons prefer one over the other. And that kind of submission has to come from within. It's not the submission of an actor to playing a part, but it's the submission of a person who has opened their heart unreservedly to the person that they turn to in front of an audience of people and witnesses and God and say, I do. And your will has been turned over to another person. And it's a choice you make as you submit to them. And that comes from the mind of Christ. And it will cause you to live a life of sacrifice all your life. Submission. Now, if you're one of Sarah's daughters, And that's what we were reading about back in the book of 1 Peter just before we started. One of the things it says about Sarah's daughters that she does well, or if you do this, you will do well. That has the idea of respectful submission, a pure and an upright life. When a person fulfills her duties as a woman of faith, the husband will respond. And not only that, there's faithfulness to the husband, all good fidelity to him and to God, but there's also a third, not just good and well-doing and faithful to her husband, but firm in her own principles. Her integrity is intact and is not turned aside by anything or even the trials of life. Sarah gives us a lot of lessons. I spent, I don't know how many days going through the life of Sarah since I've been thinking about this. And I thought, now how am I going to tell them all that I learned about Sarah? Well, give me a week and I can probably do that. But I'm going to give you some things that I, briefly, just as we close, that we need to learn. She, in a negative way, she started out wanting to do things her way instead of God's. And so to cover her own shame, she took matters into her own hands. She took over authority. And it created a real serious problem. And when it caught up with her, she blamed Abraham for her problems. And we might find it easier to blame others and say, there's a lady, and I've been trying not to do this because old men tell stories, but there was a lady in Newfoundland years ago, and Mr. Herb Harris, who I preached with for the last 8 years of his life, I had to submit myself to his authority. I did for 8 years. Whatever he said, I did. But one time he went into the house of a little lady, and she was one of the old-fashioned button-up shoes lady with the black, never wore anything but a black dress, and carried the lantern, and lived in a little small house, and had been saved, and she was really outspoken. I mean, you know, really outspoken. And she witnessed all the time tracks going out, and her husband wasn't saved. So he said to her one day, he said, Aunt Jessie, how are you getting along? How's it going with the old man? He meant the old nature. How's it going with the old man? She said, look at the old thing sitting there like a lump. She said, still on his way to hell. And I don't think, I know, that he ever came to Christ. So we've got to be careful. Even though she was a faithful witness and an enthusiastic Christian, she didn't win him. So don't blame, Sarah blamed Abraham for her problems, and she put her anger in the wrong place. It's not going well with you. Don't put your anger on the other sisters. Go back to as unto the Lord. And actually, she lied. Now, I know she probably learned it from Abraham, but she didn't have to. And she lied. But on the other side of it, Sarah, when she heard the voice of God, she believed. She believed God when she heard his voice. She was a loyal, faithful follower of her husband's leadership, even though she was from a pagan country. She didn't even mind the life of a nomad. Even with all her beauty, she must have been some woman because she was in her 80s and still she was noted all over the country for her beauty. Probably the beauty of her spirit. But it may be in physical as well. But the beauty of spirit shows through faces. I hope my wife won't mind, but my mother-in-law just lost her husband a month ago. And at the funeral, there wouldn't be quite as many as this there, but there was a lot. They were the first fruits of the work of the gospel in St. John's. And at that funeral, she walked in with dignity. Small little lady. Well-dressed. Hat on her head. The sun on each side, rocking their mother. Queen Elizabeth could take a few lessons from my mother-in-law. The dignity of a person who owns the Lordship of Christ personally, led by the Spirit of God, a very quiet lady, but moving with calm dignity through the most stressful thing that's ever happened in her life. That was Sarah. Sarah was that kind of a woman. And you'll have your times, not to have perhaps a miracle baby, but to reveal that Jesus Christ is Lord. In my life, in my marriage, in my home, but most of all, in my heart, submission comes from here. It's not just outward. Not like the little child that was told by his parents to sit down, and the child said no, and the father said, sit down. And the little one sat down. She said, well, I'm sitting down outside, but I'm not sitting down inside. Now, that's the way a lot of people are. But when we come to Sarah, I'm going to mention these because I've passed my time, but I want to mention this first. Take the initiative. If your husband, if you're married to a Christian, and he wants to serve the Lord and he's committed to leadership in the assembly or wants to serve the Lord, take initiative in supporting him. Respond to his desire to serve God by being involved in a ministry with him. Takes you away from home sometimes. And if there's changes, us men don't have a whole lot of understanding of women issues. So if there's changes that you feel need to be made, you talk to your husband about it frankly. Now, my wife and I make it a point and have sitting across the table where we can look at each other face to face and speak on a daily basis, making sure that there's no barriers. And she knows what I'm doing and I know what she's doing. We've chosen to do that, and it's a very positive thing in the functioning of the Lord's work. But what changes you want, if you have some changes you want made, tell them. How do you be a doctor and come away from home? Or how do you be a missionary and sometimes have to leave your children? Or whatever. I had to do that. My wife and I discussed it when our children got of school age. Decided that we would make sure that our children had a stable environment in one place where they would be involved with a solid, strong assembly. And I would pay the cost of going out and coming back, going out and coming back. And that's okay. I knew it because I knew from her. But if you're married to a Christian who doesn't live like a Christian, you got a husband and he's not doing a good job of being a Christian, what are you going to do? Well, pray for God to act on him. And pray for another man to come along and help him, because you're not going to likely do much with him. But pray to God that some other brother would come along and see that this man is not functioning as a Christian man should. By the way, just as a aside, is this prayer time only for preachers before the meetings? So function the way you're supposed to. I mean, we had plenty of time for a half a dozen men to pray before this meeting started. Just passing that on. I'm not saying why you've got to jab them, but, give them a prayer request. You can do that even if your husband's not saved, or if he's a believer, but not functioning the way. Say, it's time we prayed for this person. And give him a place that he's able to say, all right, yeah, we will, we should. Make it obvious. And for the changes you want to make, give God the credit that he knows more about it than you do. And if you're married to a non-Christian, you just honor him and love him and respect him and don't nag him and be kind to him and do whatever you can for him. And a time will come when he'll say, how come you're doing so much for me? Because I love you. Not just for who you are, but because of who God sees you are. You're important to God. I had a great uncle, an uncle, and his wife and her sisters and brothers and father were not believers. None of them. There's six children, a husband, and they all grew up. The lady was in the assembly for years. She lived out in the country, 3 miles from where the assembly met. Sunday morning, they had a pretty long driveway, half a mile, their own driveway, to get out to the main road. She'd take her Bible and a bag. Depending on the weather, she'd either have an umbrella or thing over her head, and she'd walk out the driveway and start down the road towards the hall. It would take her approximately an hour, hour and a quarter to get there, walking. And she did that for years and years. Her grown children and her husband would laugh at her as she went through the door. Some of the Christians used to make a point of circling back around and picking her up. And she lived her life like that. And she said to her husband, Lewis, whatever you want, that's okay. But I do need to be there when the assembly meets because I'm a part of that. And that aggravated him terribly. And she died. Never saw her husband or one of her children saved. None. None. But a year later, by the time the year passed, her husband and all of her children but one had been saved and baptized and gathered to the Lord's name. We don't know what God is going to do. We just know that He expects us to submit as unto the Lord. Father,